How many of you guys wake up in the morning and remember the dreams that you had the night before? Look at that. I just heard that if you wake up every morning and you concentrate and try to remember them and have a little journal and you do that for a month, then you'll start remembering your dreams more. What a weird deal that is. So I woke up this morning. Mine's random. Sometimes I remember them, sometimes I don't. This morning I woke up and I remembered my dream from last night, so I figured I'd share it with you. So here's how it goes, right? Don't try to analyze this because you're going to get yourself confused. My mind is a minefield. I was enrolling in school, which was confusing to start with because I hate school. So, like, why am I here? I think it was Montverde Academy, but I'm not sure for sure. It kind of felt like Montverde Academy. So I'm enrolling in school, and I look over, and next to me is my sister, and she's smiling, and she's enrolling in the same classes as me, which adds to the confusion because I hate school and I hate my... No, I don't hate my sister. But I don't think going to class with my sister is something that I particularly desire. So now I already know that this is probably a dream about great fears I have, like going back to school with my sister. And as I'm busy enrolling in school, this guy walks up to me, and he shakes my hand and he introduces himself. I don't remember his name. But he looks at me, and I see a glimmer in his eye. It's that glimmer in somebody's eye that you know they're looking at you and they're excited about something, but you don't know what it is. So first you start feeling that feeling of, is there something on my face that I'm not seeing that they're seeing? And then you realize, no, that's not quite the look. It's that look of, hi. It's the almost salesman type of look. I'm excited to meet you because I've got something for you. And then it dawns on me. I've experienced this look before. I experienced it when I moved from South Africa here and I enrolled in high school as a junior. I experienced it when I enrolled in college. It's that look of a basketball coach when he walks up to me and he shakes my hand and he realizes I'm enrolling in school and he goes, oh, this is good. You're 6'7". You look relatively healthy. I think we're going to be able to make you play. And I start running in my mind through the speech in my dream that I'm going to share with him to disappoint him by saying to him, I grew up in a country where I didn't play basketball, and though I can dunk the ball, that's all I can do. So you're going to get me out on the court all excited, thinking someone this tall must have been playing their whole life, and I'm going to mess up the entire game for you, and you're going to be disappointed and cry. And I want to save you all of that misery. So, no, I'm not going to play basketball on your team. That was my dream, thinking through that. And it dawned on me this morning as I remembered that dream, that all of us, you've experienced this either because you've seen it in someone or because someone's seen it in you. You bump into somebody and you go, they were meant for this. You can just tell. It's the way that they talk, it's the things that they do, the way that they're designed, whatever it is. You just go, they were meant for this. Whether or not they do it or not, it's what they were meant for. You know, my daughter, I just realized that this week, we were out playing baseball at the beach. I bought my son, he turned 6 last week, and I bought him a baseball bat and a ball and a glove, and I'm all excited. We're going to go out there, and we're gonna play baseball and start learning to hit. And so we're doing that out there, and my daughter, she's 8, she comes out, and she says, Dad, can I try? And I'm like, sure, and I hand her the bat, and you know, you start with the speech. Now, honey, this bat's round. It's really hard to hit with, and you know, sometimes you hit, the ball goes up and down. Some guy a long time ago who was completely insane invented a round bat because he thought it would be fun to watch people suffer through trying to learn to hit a ball with it. And so you have to understand, honey, that you're gonna miss it most of the time. Because, you know, you don't want your child to try the first 6 shots, miss it, and go, this is a stupid game, and walk away. So you got to set them up. So she gets the bat, and I take the ball, and I'm like, whoop. And she goes, fatong. And I'm like, what? That's so sweet. She got lucky the first time. It's awesome. I always love it when your kid gets lucky the first time because it builds their confidence. So I get the ball. I'm like, honey, now that doesn't happen every time. So, you know, and I'm like, whoop. And she's like, hootink. Like, oh, she got lucky again. So now I'm like, okay, I got to teach her that she can't be expecting this all the time. So the next ball, I'm like, woo. And she goes, hootink. And I'm like, all right, that's it. I get the ball. I'm like, you better be ready. Get that kid. Are you? You know what she does? And my dad's standing up on the sidewalk, 6'10", and he's watching. And about the 5th hit, he steps in, like dads do, and he goes, we should get her into sport. Because, you know, you just certain times where you just kind of go, you were meant for this, you know? You just get that feeling. And when it comes to the Bible, what we're going to be unpacking today is one of those things that you and I were just meant for. We were just designed for it. We were just made for it. Doesn't matter who you are here today. It doesn't matter what your spiritual journey is. It doesn't matter what your personality is. It doesn't matter what your faults are or what your strengths are. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with or what you're not. It doesn't matter what you're good at or what you're not. This particular thing you were designed for, whether or not it is occurring in your life at this current time, it is what you were designed for. And it's a simple word. It's one word, and it starts with a T, and this is it. You ready? You and I were designed, were made, were meant for transformation. That's it. God's intention for you, His goal for you, His desire for you is transformation. Why were you meant for transformation? Now, originally, when you and I were created in the Garden of Eden, not you and I, but humanity, we were not meant for transformation there. We were meant for paradise. God created us in the Garden of Eden, which we also know as paradise, where every desire and need was met for the human being, where the intimacy that we had with our Creator was so extreme that there was no sense of process that needed to take place to have intimacy. It was just a way of life. He walked with them in the garden. They were friends. They drank coffee together. It was awesome. Yes, there was coffee in the Garden of Eden, just so you know. And this is how it started. But then humanity at a certain point decided to do things their way and disobey the incredible process that God had put in place for them to live in the garden and enjoy. And they did things their way and they had to walk out of paradise into what the Bible terms as death, into sin and death. And from that moment on, humanity was plagued by the fact that they had changed from perfection, from eternal living, into a state of imperfection and death. And you know what God's been doing ever since that day? He has been in the process with humanity of moving them back from death into paradise. And that process from death to paradise or life is the process of transformation. You and I need to be changed from where we are to where God wants us to be, because you, as you are today, in the holistic form, are a person that is less than what God intended. So am I. Because sin and death entered this world way back when we left the Garden of Eden. But God has promised us in Scripture that He is in the process of doing a work in us that will lead us back to the place where we need to be. The final experience of that will be the time when we leave this planet and we experience what we know as heaven, paradise again. But even on this planet, God's intention for us is to live closer and closer to the way of life that is, in essence, the experience of that paradise. Listen to these words. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and to give it to you in abundance." See, these are the kinds of words God uses. He wants us to experience the fullness of life that He has for us. And the version of fullness of life that He has for us is a version that we're not even familiar with. We're so unfamiliar with us that as soon as God uses the words abundance and paradise, we start slapping on our boxes of what that looks like. And God goes, "That's not even it. It is a life you can't even imagine." So God says, "I will affect transformation in your life because that is what you were meant for." Transformation is the result that God is at work on. The results are out of our hands, but the process to transformation is what you and I are called into. Because like with everything else on a sinful planet that plagues us with death, there is a result that we can do nothing about, that's God's work, and there is a process that we can do something about, that's obedience, and when we step into that, we walk our way toward the results that God has for us. I'll give you a short, small example. If you take a plant, how many of you guys have ever grown a plant before? Raise your hand. Okay, that was somewhat of a trick question. None of you have ever grown a plant. If you could grow a plant, then you could lay a seed on this table, and you could go, and it would be an incredible magic trick, and we'd all be excited, and we'd all know there's some trick to it, because nobody can grow a plant. What did you do, though? You took a seed, and you placed it in some soil, and you watered it. That was the process you were called to. Who grew the plant? Well, God's natural processes grew the plan. What God had implemented resulted in what needed to result when you obediently put into practice the process that God had called you to grow a plant. And so in the same way, when we implement a process in our lives that God has designed for us to lead to transformation, the result is transformation. And sometimes we confusingly say, I transformed my life. No, you did not. You stepped into an obedient process that led to transformation, the very thing that God has already wired and designed us for, because he wants us to walk back into life and freedom with him. And what I want to unpack today a little bit is I want to unpack for you guys the process of transformation as we have it here at Mosaic Church, so that you can understand where you need to step into the process so that you can be part of that environment that leads to faster, better transformation in your life, because you're in the right place. Now, just so you know, the process that we're going to be talking about is a process that is right here that we have designed. There are lots of processes. The results are always the same, but the process always differs. Take the gym, for instance. Let's talk about gym for a second. See, I say the word gym and you're all like, See, I found out the other day, actually not the other day, a long time ago, that if you want to get physically healthy, you have to go to this place called the gym. Maybe it's a home gym or it's a gym that you go to, but you have to go exercise. See, when you want to get healthy, you don't get to sit back on the couch and you look at who you are and you look at who you want to be physically and you go, God, I want to be that. I'm currently this. Change me. And God will go, go to the gym, all right? So you get up and someone says you should start exercising, and it sounds pretty neat. You're like, exercise, it has a ring to it, exercise. So you go, and you go into the gym, and they take you through that first day, and they've been exercising for a while. So they go, yo, you do this, and you do that, and they walk you through it, and nobody tells you that the first time you should go and exercise, you should take it easy, because otherwise you might die. And so you go and exercise, and you realize, this is horrible. I mean, at home, I get to sit on the couch and relax, push a button, and here I got to push heavy things, and I got to run on this little thing that keeps under my feet, and if I just stop running, it throws me off, and it's just, what is this place? It's like designed to torture people. And then you're finally done with exercise, and you walk out, and you're exhausted, and all you can think about is your couch, and you're walking home, and you're like, thank goodness it's over. And you get home, and you lay down, and the next morning, you wake up, and you lean over, and you say, you should call 911. Something's very wrong with me. I can't seem to move. And you think you have some disease, and someone tells you, did you exercise yesterday? Yes. Oh, you're just stiff. Stiff? Nobody told me about this part of it. You mean I exercise one day and then I hurt the next? Oh, yeah, you'll hurt for days. In fact, day three is the worst. Oh, that's wonderful. But on day two, you should exercise again. Are you insane? So you do it. You go, okay, fine, because I want to be healthy, right? So you go and you exercise, and after 5 or 6 days, you come up to your friend that told you about this neat exercise thing that will transform your body, and you look at them and you say, I've been exercising for a while now. It's been 5 days. I see nothing. No transformation. And they go, oh, yeah, it's not a trick. You don't get to exercise one day and be transformed the next. It's a process. You keep exercising, and eventually you will see transformation. The results will happen as you put yourself in the environment of exercise. And by the way, if you wanted to go faster, you should eat right. What do you currently eat? And you go, oh, I eat good food. What do you eat? Well, you know, for breakfast, I have my pancakes and my eggs and my stuff, and I drink coffee, and then I drink a Coke mid-morning because, you know, we're all tired these days. We need caffeine. And a chocolate bar always helps, sugar boost. And then you get to lunch, and there's always Five Guys. I love Five Guys. Oh, especially the big double bacon cheeseburger craziness. And I eat that, and then the Coke with that to keep the boost going because the mid-morning Coke's kind of run out. And then Coke in the afternoon with a candy bar for an extra boost. And then for dinner, some Coke will be good. And perhaps, you know, something sugary with a good big dessert. And they go, oh, well, listen, if you really want to be transformed physically, you should try this. And they hand you some water. And you look at it and you're like, that's pretty cool looking. You can see through it. Unlike Coke, that's really awesome. And you take the first sip And you set it down and go, that does not taste anything like Coke or coffee. As a matter of fact, it doesn't have any sugar in it. And they're like, yeah, it's water. And you go, bleh! And then you start drinking water because they tell you to, and then they hand you green things, one after the next. Here's celery, here's lettuce, here's green beans. And you're like, every one of them you bite into, and you're like, yeah, yeah, doesn't taste anything like chocolate. They go, yeah. And what happens? After a while, because you have placed yourself into the process, the results of physical transformation. You wake up one morning, you look in the mirror, and you're like, I think it's me, but it can't be. I look different. And somebody goes, that is transformed body. That is transformed health. You feel better. And you know what happens one day? You walk over like I did this last week. I was at the beach house. I haven't had a Coke in going on 13 weeks now. Just been drinking water. You know, yeah. Picked up a Coke. I was excited. I love Coke. I took the Coke. I took that big swig of Coke. And I was like, what on earth is this? Somebody get me a real Coke. That stuff tasted horrible. It was like drinking sugar. And they're like, oh, no, it's a real Coke. That's what you were drinking 12 weeks ago, every day of your life, killing yourself. And you're like, wow. See what happened? The transformation took place all over, and suddenly the things that were are no longer. When we step into the Bible, listen to this. In Romans chapter 12, God gives us the result of transformation, and he hands us the process that gets us to that result. You ready for this? I want you to listen very carefully to this, because here it is. This is, in a nutshell, the process that walks us toward transformation. Therefore, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, therefore, in view of God's mercy, that is that you understand that God is trustworthy, that his character is solid, and if he tells you to do a certain thing a certain way, that it's going to be best for you. So in view of God's mercy, present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. There's the word Jim. Did you hear that? Sacrifice, Jim, sacrifice, all the same. They're next to each other in the dictionary. Present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. It's how you worship God. Not by getting up and singing in church, but by presenting yourself a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing. Say, here I am. And then watch this. You ready? Here it comes. The transforming process. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Take the stuff that you've been stuffing in and set it aside. At first, it's going to hurt. I love Coke. But step aside. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world. Listen now. But be transformed. You hear that? There's the word, the thing we're all meant for. But be transformed. It doesn't say, but transform yourself. It doesn't say, but work on transformation. It says, but be transformed. That's one of those intangibles, isn't it? Be transformed. It's kind of disappointing. How do you be transformed? Well, it goes on. It says that's God's job. But be transformed by, there's the word you're looking for, by the renewing of your mind. There it is. Did you hear it? There it is. There is the secret to transformation, by the renewing of your mind. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, there's a little verse you guys will, it'll sound vaguely familiar to you because you've memorized this as a church at some point, but it says, let your attitudes be the same as that of Christ Jesus. In the New King James Version, it actually translates that differently. It says, put on the mind that is inside of Christ. Place the mind of Christ on your own mind. The word there translated, attitude or mind, is actually both those translations are not completely and totally correct, although attitude's probably more likely correct. Watch this. The word for mind in the Greek is generally used in the New Testament is the word nous, which is the word for mind. The Greek word nous means mind. In this particular place, the word nous is not used for this translation. In this particular place, the Greek word translated directly would be the state of mind. State of mind, which you could translate into attitude, right? Because your state of mind is generally played out your attitude. So it says, place onto your mind God's state of mind. So place Jesus' state of mind and let it become your state of mind. See, biblically, the process of transformation is very simple. You need to renew your mind by placing the state of mind that Christ has, the mind of Christ, onto your mind and allowing your mind to become just like his mind. There's a little quote here from Bill Hall. He wrote this book called Choose the Life, and he writes this. It's a brilliant definition of personal transformation from a biblical perspective. I want you to listen to this, okay? Here it comes. Ready? Personal transformation begins with the acquisition of the mind of Christ. I love that word. You know, when you acquire something, the acquisition of something, it's you go and you take it and you take it to yourself and you keep it. The acquisition of something. You do it in business all the time. It's this company, it's the acquisition of that company. This company takes that company for themselves. So here it says, the personal transformation begins with the acquisition of the mind of Christ. Our minds are wired in such a way that they have thoughts that create images, feelings, and perceptions. You with me? We have thoughts, and those thoughts create images, feelings, and perceptions. Even spontaneous unconscious action is based on cognitive memory that is fixed in the mind. Hence, the explanation of why whenever you think of liver, you immediately gag. You want some liver? No, thank you. That response is because of a memory, because sometimes some person said to you, taste this, it's really good. And you bit into it and gagged, and your mind went, let's not do that again. This is why Paul, listen carefully, taught that transformation begins by the reprogramming of the mind. Just as every human's actions are based on what he or she thinks, listen very carefully to this last part, one cannot conceive being like Christ without thinking like Christ. Are you with me? There's the key. You sit here and you're a Christ follower and you say, Renaud, I want to be like Christ. I want to live like Christ. I want to walk like Christ. And I go, great. Forget about it. It's never going to happen until you can first think like Christ. So you have to start with the renewing of your mind, thinking like Christ, so that naturally the process of living will be a result of your thinking. So how do we, in process, begin to make sure that you and I in this church are in this environment where we are renewing our mind by placing Christ's mind onto our own mind? That is the process of learning. You and I sitting here have to be involved in the process of learning, otherwise we are never going to have our minds renewed and we are not going to be able to live the life that walks us into that beautiful place of paradise, transformation, that God wants us to be in. The dictionary definition of learning, let me read it to you real quick. Dictionary definition of learning. To acquire knowledge, hold on one sec. To acquire knowledge or skill, listen now, by study, instruction, or experience. Isn't that cool how the dictionary's figured out that learning is not simply stuffing your head full of information off a page? It actually says, by definition, to acquire knowledge or skill by study, yes, instruction or experience. The very second definition in the dictionary is this: to become informed of or acquainted with something by experience or exposure to example. Isn't that amazing? Now, biblically speaking, when we are called into the learning process, as God says, you need to renew your mind, take on the mind of Christ, but in order to take on the mind of Christ, you must know the mind of Christ so you can even take it on, you need to be called into a learning process, a process of renewing your mind. Paul writes about that in the book of Philippians in chapter 4. I want you to listen to what Paul writes here in the book of Philippians in chapter 4. He's talking about also the process of transformation. Whoops, I just passed it. Sorry, there it is. Okay, Philippians chapter 4. Listen to this. I just want you to listen quietly to this. He's talking about transformation here as well in our thinking from warring to not warring. And here's what he says in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And then he says this, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Do you see what Paul does? He says, guys, we have got to renew our mind. Think on these things. It leads to life. And whatever you've heard from me, seen in me, or been a part of, I want you to put it into practice. Paul lays out for us here a relationship, a very particular relationship. He says to us that on this planet, since Jesus has headed out for a while, we learn from his word without a shadow of a doubt. But the best place to learn from his word is in relationship with the body that God has created, so that each of us are able to say, what you have learned from me, put it into practice, follow me as I follow Christ. In the same way, they're saying to you, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we step into relationships where we are driving one another constantly toward following Christ as we get to know the mind of Christ through study, through example, through experience, and through the process of instruction. So here at Mosaic Church, since transformation is something we want to make absolutely sure you are involved in, that you are involved in the process of transformation so that real life change will take place for you, we want to make sure that we have a process that works for you. Now, if you go into the bookstore today, right now, and you go to the section on working out in the gym, there are hundreds of books. And every book has a face on it of some really buff-looking person who goes, I have the secret of working out. My mom called me a couple months ago, and she goes, oh my gosh, hello, we've discovered the most amazing workout thing ever. I'm like, what is it? And they're like, it's called Super Slow. It's incredible. You go to the gym, and you get in, and you're in there for like 15 minutes, and you super slow push these things, and there's a trainer that helps you, and then when you're done, you go home, and you're done. And then after like 3 months, boom, you start getting fitter and cooler, and this is the new thing. It's incredible. And I said, it sounds really good. And my mom said, oh, you should see. I mean, my brother-in-law's been doing it. And man, whoo, hello, it's working for him. It's incredible. He's doing super slow, and he's buff. Man, he's getting there. And I said to my mom, you know, I'm sure it's working for my brother-in-law because he's actually exercising. And when you start exercising, things happen to your body. It's amazing. Call it super slow, call it super fast, it doesn't really matter. If you're in the gym pushing weights, running on treadmills and doing stuff, you are going to start experiencing change. So one guy in a book says to you, look, the process to the transformed body is 5 reps, moving down from heavy to low weight. The next book says, no, it's 7 reps moving up, and that's going to do it for you. And the next book says, don't forget reps completely. Trick your body into thinking something else is happening. So lift with this arm this way and push with that arm that way, and your body won't know what to do, and your muscles will grow. And you go, okay, which one is it? And the books can tell you a million things. And in the end of the day, you go in the gym, and you start exercising, and after a while, you figure out some things that work and start changing your body, and you put them into practice. And transformation is the result physically, right? You're going to leave this church and go online and type in processes for discipleship. And I'll tell you, there are websites up the wazoo. And every one of them will tell you, now, look, if you really want to do it right, this is it right here. So I'm here to tell you what I'm about to lay out for you, what we laid out 2 weeks ago, learning, then living, then leading, is not the process out there. It is a process that allows you to plug into transformation because you're doing exercise. You with me? So here at Mosaic Church, we want to create an environment where you are in a learning relationship. If you are not in a learning relationship here at Mosaic Church and you're just showing up, you are missing out on the process that could be taking place in your life as you learn together. So we can't do that perfectly, but we can create some environments where you can step into a learning relationship. And if you are not in one now, I want you to panic You hear me? Panic. Walk out there, go home, sit on your couch miserable and go, I'm not in a learning relationship. I don't know what to do. And come back next week going, I've been thinking about it all week. I need a learning relationship. Now! I want you to feel that way, because if you don't, you're not going to get involved. But I want you to walk in these doors and go, I need a learning relationship, but I need one now. How do I do it? And we're going to go, listen, here's the deal. As a starting point, September 7th, which is in 4 weeks from now, we're going to have these walls lined with all of our life groups, new and old. That's our home groups, our life interest groups, our ministry groups, everything. Every place you can possibly get involved in relationship in this church. We call it life groups because it's people doing life together. And I'm going to say to you, you're going to hear these words from me September 7th. If you want to get involved in a learning relationship right now so that you can plug into the process of transformation, you ought to be involved in one of these. Some are small, some are big, some are social, some are quiet, some are everything so that you can enjoy yourself. But there are people in them. And if you got to get involved, you got to get involved in people's lives, because when we are together, we begin to learn from one another. Ask yourself today, what relationship are you currently involved in, where you are involved with someone who is teaching you on a regular basis the things of Christ? And if you can't answer that question immediately, then you ought to find that relationship quickly. Whether it's in a life group or in a one-on-one relationship, find it. Because you have to be in a learning relationship. I want to close with these last two things. The first thing is a verse. It's an invitation, if you will. An invitation by Christ calling us into this learning relationship. This is not so much about transformation as much as it is about learning. Listen to this. I'm reading this from The Message because The Message captures this verse in such a unique way. You've heard this verse. It's even on our website. Listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? You know how I translate that stuff? Have you been drinking diet pills? Have you been sitting on the couch stuffing powders into your body to grow muscles? Are you tired of going bloop, 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 bloop constantly? You tired of all the gimmicks out there, the religious institutions and religions that say, here's transformation, quick, wear a suit, put a tie on and smile and you'll be transformed forever. Then come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, listen to this invitation now. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitted on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. You want to know what paradise is? It is when we can live freely and lightly in Christ, despite anything that's going on in our lives. Rich or poor, hungry or well-fed, in prison or free, I have learned the secret of contentment. That's what Paul wrote. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is total freedom. And you want to learn to live freely and lightly? You want to be transformed into new life, life abundantly? Go out there, read every book on transformation that you can. I can tell you right now, there's a million of them. But God makes it very simple. He says you step into a learning process where you are taking on my mind as you get to know it. And as you implement that into your life, you will see where this takes you. There's a beautiful quote, and I want to leave you with this quote. It simply says this: I'm not afraid of storms, for I am learning how to sail my ship. I love that. I'm not afraid of storms, for I am learning to sail my ship. When you are in a learning mindset, meaning that you say, God, I know you're in process in my life. I know you're teaching me. I know I'm learning. Every day I'm involved with others that are learning. I know whatever circumstances come into my life that is an opportunity for me to learn, then suddenly everything starts changing, doesn't it? Because you look at the rough times and the great times and you go, I'm not afraid, for I am learning to sail my ship. I'm learning to live a life that is Christ-like. I'm learning to place the mind of Christ on my mind. So bring on the circumstances. And each one I will take and I will struggle with. And when I'm through it on the other side, I will have learned something about the mind of Christ, what he calls me to, what he wants for me, and how to live in freedom. May you and I find ourselves in learning relationships here at Mosaic all the time so that we can grow together into genuine, lifelong transformation, life change in every arena of our life, from our marriages to our friendships to our workplaces to our circumstances to our struggles to our joys. Transformation. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the call that you've given us to step into the process of obedience with you and discipline ourselves to struggle through the learning process. God, this is not easy because we live on a sinful planet, just like going to the gym isn't easy. But we know, God, that if we step into obedience and we start placing ourselves in learning relationships where we are with someone who is teaching us your ways and your mind and driving us toward you, that we will find ourselves in the process of transformation before we know it. Help us all, God, help me to have the discipline and the courage to step into the learning process. Help me not to allow my schedule and my circumstances and my work and my stuff and everything else that clutters to keep me from times of learning with you and learning through others about you. But just like working out, God, drive me into the discipline of setting it in my schedule and getting it done. God, it is my heart cry for everyone here that 5 years from now, we would all be able to say, our lives are genuinely transformed because Christ has become a part of everything, because we have taken on the state of mind that Christ has. Help us to get there, God. Those are your things that you do, transforming us as we obediently step into the process, starting with learning. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.